Many denominations today struggle with the concept of obeying God. Although give lip service to the idea that you need to do what God says. But they find it appalling that anything that we do affects our salvation. They rather believe that God gives salvation and basically that's it. Now, some realize that even faith is an action on God's part. So what they do is they then say, or man's part, so what they do is they claim that faith then comes from God. So that they can still say, well, even though we have to have faith, that comes from God, so we're still not really involved. A while back, I clipped an article from a group named Barna Research Group, and it does religious surveys. And they were upset because by one of their findings. They had asked people if it was true that God helps those who help themselves. And 75% agreed. But the researchers thought that statement was false. Because they argued, if man is able to determine his destiny, then God has no role in our salvation. He's merely man's assistance. And that's the view that a lot of denominational people have. If we had some input in the fact that we're saved, then they think that diminishes God's role. I think we can clarify those situations by looking at the parable that's in Luke chapter 17, which is about the unprofitable servants. So in Luke chapter 17, and I'm not going to read the whole reading that we had already, but I want you to focus towards the end there. He says in verse 7, Luke 17, starting with verse 7, "But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat.' But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourselves and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink?' Does he not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to do.'" Think what it means to be an unprofitable servant or an unprofitable employee. Imagine you have somebody that's working for you. And whatever you tell them to do, you can almost count on the fact that they're going to do something else. They just don't listen to what you say. And what's funny sometimes is you talk to somebody like that, they think they're a great employee because they're thinking they're saving you from all your mistakes. And some people talk like that about God. They talk like they're good servants of God, but they sure don't act the part. Take a look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Think about what that means. We have a world full of people that talk a good talk. But you can look at what they do and tells you a whole different story. In Matthew chapter 21, there's a parable that we're going to look at starting with verse 28. Matthew 21, starting with verse 28. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, I will, sir. And he did not go. And he came to the second and said the same thing. But he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the latter. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that the tax gatherers and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. And it's for the same reason. People say they're going to serve God and then they turn around and they don't do it. There's others whom most of the world will look at and look down on because they have sinned, but they know where they stand, and because of their sins, they decide to serve God. Which is the greater? Actions count, not words. It's what you actually do. And it's by what we do that we are judged. Over in 1 John, there's a warning in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Are we unprofitable servants for God because we just don't do what we say? We don't act as we claim. Another way a person can be unprofitable, whether you're talking about a servant or an employee, there's always somebody in the office who just plain doesn't get anything done. You give them tasks to do, and it just seems like nothing ever quite gets finished. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, it starts with verse 14 and goes down to verse 30. We won't take time to read that parable. But in that parable, a master is leaving town for a period of time. And he gives three servants varying amounts of funds. The amount that he gives each servant is based on what he assesses as there being his ability to handle. The first two were able to take those funds that they were given, and they achieved with their Lord's money more profit for the Lord. They managed to double each one, even though they had different amounts. But the last servant didn't even try to invest the Lord's money. Instead, he hides it, and then on his Lord's return, gives it back to him and says, here, I kept it from being lost. And what's interesting is the master's response. In Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 26. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered not no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he who has an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, how profitable of a servant are we for the Lord? How much have we accomplished? Or are we like the lazy servant who just tries to get by with the absolute minimum and think that's good enough? Do the actions of these servants affect their rewards that they receive from their Lord? Oh, definitely. We expect that. We expect that even our own bosses. We want our bosses to notice what kind of work we do, and it affects our pay. And a servant who will not serve is worthless to a master. Instead, a faithful servant does his duty. Going back to Matthew 24, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45, it says, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of the household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." We ought to be somebody who strives to be the faithful, profitable slave for our Lord. See, the servant that was in Luke chapter 7 did his duty. He was out working in the field. When he came home, he went and served his master. Did it matter that the work was hard? No. And yet the servant's view of himself, and think about that in verse 10. In fact, let's go back there again. Look at Luke 17. Look at verse 10. "So you too, when you do the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done.'" Whose view of that is? Is that the master's view of his servant? No, it's the slave's view of himself. It's called humility. The servant looks at himself and says he's unprofitable because he merely did what was expected. And see, that's where we started at. That's where the problem really lies. Is with people who think they only owe God faith. They act as if anything beyond faith is above and beyond the call of duty. In fact, what leads into this, and the reason why we have the scripture reading starting from verse 1, is the disciples had a rough time with the concept of having to forgive someone who wronged them multiple times in a day. Going back in verse 4, it says, "And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And this was the answer to that question or that request. They wanted to know, how can you do this? How is it possible that when somebody does you wrong, and they do it seven times in the same day, and we're supposed to forgive them? And they realize, we just don't have enough, we don't trust you enough, Lord, in this matter. You know what Jesus' answer is? If you read through it. It doesn't matter how rough it is on you, it is your duty. Just like the slave who's out there plowing the field all day, comes in and gets hot and sweaty, he has to make the meal, he has to go get changed so he looks proper and presentable, serves the meal, and then if he gets all done, then he can have something to eat. It doesn't matter how rough the day was, it is your duty. And really, when you get down to it, the problem is their own view of their worthiness. The apostles thought too much of themselves. Take a look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 46. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. "And an argument arose among them as to which of them might be the greatest." Wasn't the only time they had that argument, because in Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, And there arose also a dispute among them as to which of them was to be regarded as to be the greatest. These people thought too much of themselves. Because they saw themselves as great, they thought giving forgiveness multiple times in a day was going beyond the call of duty. Hey, he offended me. That's asking too much of me to say, I got to forgive him. But what Jesus was saying, if they merely saw that what they were doing was simply what was expected, they wouldn't have a hard time forgiving other people. They saw that that was just barely meeting the requirements. They would change their attitude. Their exaggerated view of themselves was a weakness in their faith. It was demonstrated in their reluctance to do what God said on a matter of faith. And you can see this in Christians all the time. We talk about quite a few times about the attendance. When I first came here, I was very impressed with the group. Oftentimes, Wednesday had far more people than Sunday morning. Because some people had to work either Sunday morning or Sunday night, but everybody got to have Wednesday night off. It's been dropping rapidly. It's gotten to the point where there's almost nobody showing up on Sunday night anymore. And it's solely because people have too big of a view of themselves. It's too inconvenient for you to get out of your house and go worship God. Who's the unprofitable servant? Notice the servant doesn't expect the master to serve him. And that's what you hear all the time. How inconvenient it is for them to get out twice in one day, or to go out on Wednesday night. There's so many other things that really need to be done. And then they talk about how profitable of a servant they are for God. Even when the servant was working hard all day, he points out, which of you having a slave plowing and tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately, sit down and eat? That's not what God's asking of us. He's not asking us to have an easy time. He's not asking us for being convenient for us. He's asking us to serve him. The work we work at jobs, as our Lord commands, but at the end of the day, at the end of the week, where do our thoughts run to? Ourselves. So many are set of making time, go to worship God each Sunday, spending a few hours studying God's word. Oh, I spent long hours working. When do I get time for myself? What kind of excuse is that? What does our master think of that service? And people will go to all sorts of extremes and make sure they got to work because they want to make sure that paycheck comes in. But they'll find anything else to do and expect there's going to be a heavenly reward at the end than to serve God See, while our masters on earth do not thank their servants for merely doing what is expected of them, our master is different. Our master has promised a rich reward to faithful servants. We can never say that we are owed this reward, because we're merely doing what is expected, and oftentimes we poorly perform at that job. And we cannot say that obeying God is something extra we do for Him, because doing that, that's just saying pride. In big bold letters flashing. It's not about me. Not about who's great. It's about doing our duty. And as poorly as we do, being thankful to God that He blesses us. We got to change our attitude. We got to be servants who are willing to do what God said and trust that God knows what He's talking about. Whether it's matters of saying, you know, God says we ought to forgive, and I'm having a rough time doing it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter even if I fully understand why I ought to forgive. What matters is I do. When God says we need to worship Him, and when the church assembles that we ought to be here, all excuses you give doesn't matter. What matters is we do what God says, because He knows what's best. And we ought to have some trust in what He says. There are good reasons behind it. Whether you understand it or not, that's not the point of the matter. The matter at the point of time. We need to serve God fully, wholly, with everything we have. Because even then, we're not doing well enough. So I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like the prayers of brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.